in His Word. Now, when God gives you individual guidance, that can become His will too. I'm not minimizing that. It's just that individual guidance has to be discerned between you and the Lord alone, kind of. But this known will is discerned by the study of His Word and knowing what He's told us to do. And in Jeremiah, the known will of God was that they should submit to the king of Babylon, among other things. They were to refresh their hearts in God, too, but the particular emphasis was that they should submit to the king of Babylon. Israel had never been told to do it before, but God said through Jeremiah, because of your sins, your unbelief, the violation of the sabbatical year, the king of Babylon is going to have control of you for 70 years. No questions. You submit to my will. And as I mentioned yesterday, probably quickly, it's true for all of their history that from the time that they started till the time the captivity was over, the key to knowing God's blessing was yieldedness to His known will. And so yesterday I tried to emphasize that yieldedness to His will was the key to peace and to health, particularly to health in that spiritual realm. And if we want to enjoy the peace that God gives and the health He gives to our soul, yieldedness to His known will is the answer to that. This morning I'm going to emphasize that yieldedness to His will is the key to service, or to serving, and I'll stress that in a couple of minutes in greater detail. But let's read in Jeremiah 1. We'll start immediately at verse 1 and read down through verse 10. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year, of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king in Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have set this day thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Let's pray again. We thank you, gracious Father, for your word. We thank you for men of God and women of God have been called to execute it and have done so as great examples to us of faith and courage and trust of God. We thank you for the prophet Jeremiah. When we read his life, our lives are often filled with a feeling of pain for him in his ministry to you and the rejection by those about him. But we thank you, God, that his testimony was marked with faithfulness to what you called and allowed him to do. We thank you for his life. And we pray, Father, that we in this dispensation, this age, might find our lives faithful and honest likewise before you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be together this morning, and we pray for your direction for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when I was a boy, I always wanted to work. I enjoyed work as a very little boy. I enjoyed it as a young man. I enjoy it today. My wife has often said that I am a workaholic, but that is really not right. I just like to work, and if there isn't any work to do, I create it. And if I were here very long, I'd be out helping this brother on the grounds, although I haven't felt obligated to do so this week. That's because I like to work. And if I don't have work to do, I feel kind of defeated. But there were many things I wanted to do as a boy that I couldn't do because I didn't have good muscular coordination, like driving a nail. I could no more drive a nail than I could have opened a oil well. I just couldn't get my eye and my hand to come to the same point to hit it with the hammer. I'm fairly good at it today, but we won't discuss it beyond that. So my folks were building a new chicken house. Oh, the excitement of it. A new chicken house. I wanted to help so badly. And the help I got to do was to pick up scraps of wood and torn pieces of tar paper to just collect them. What kind of a job is that? The men were up pounding nails and putting on shingles and putting on boards and cutting and sawing. And my father and grandfather had me picking up scraps and putting them in a bucket. I was really wretched, see. And I don't think I learned on that day this lesson, but I started to learn it when I got big lectures on how it isn't important what you do, it's important how you do it and how you're willing to do what the people who are in charge want you to do. I heard a lot of that for 2 or 3 days. I'm not sure it perfectly sank in. But as a believer, I understand today far better than I did then that yieldedness is the key to service. There are always those people who want to do great things and will push ahead and maybe step on you in trying to do them and wonder why they do not succeed. Yieldedness to God and to His people and to His known will, that becomes the key to service. Jeremiah is a perfect example of that. The Lord says to Jeremiah, I prepared you for these things before you were born. I called you before that time, and now you will do it. And the prophet says, I'm not able to do it. The Lord says, don't say that. But the Lord does tell him, as I'll mention later in verse 17, that there might be some chance that he'd renege or fail. The Lord says, don't say that. As you trust me and give yourself to me, I'll prosper you and uphold you. But if you don't trust me, then you may well find yourself in great difficulty. For the prophet, as well as for the people, yieldedness to the known will of God was the key to service. Now, if you stop and say, well, service, that belongs to the next generation. No, each one of us is called to be a worshipful server of the Lord as long as we're here. We may do different jobs, but as long as we're here, we are His people. The Lord makes a point in John 15 of saying, I haven't called you servants, that is, I haven't called you slaves or miserable wretches, I've called you friends. But you're my friends when you do whatsoever I command you. And doesn't that sound like honoring His will in the course of life, though? Unfortunately, with the talk on this line, I have so many stories, it's hard to get back to the text. It's a weakness of mine. But I met this brother. I can't describe him well. But he was pressing Methuselah's mark. And he looked very unhappy. And he said to me, he said, Brother Taylor, he had a huge German accent, which I will not repeat. He said, Brother Taylor, he said, I have been in fellowship with the brethren in this meeting and its predecessor for more than 70 years, he said. He said, there's nothing that I hadn't done. But he said, I've had a stroke. He said, I can hardly walk. He said, I can talk, thank God. But he said, I can hardly walk. He said, I'm tired every 5 minutes and need the rest. He said, I just feel like my whole life and my service is over. Now, I'm often wrong. So I just kind of smiled at him and I said, well, it's not over. And he says, what can I do? And I said, well, among other things, I said, you can just come to the meetings and fill a chair. I said, remember, a chair filled with you is better than a chair that's empty. Doesn't that sound silly? I said, you can just come to the meetings and fill a chair. And I said, I didn't know the meeting very well, but I said, my guess is that everyone is glad to see you. I said, my guess is that everyone that comes by smiles at you and says, my, it's nice. He said, that's right. He said, that's right. So I said, maybe what your service right now is coming and filling a chair and making other people feel glad that the Lord has blessed you. He took that advice. His daughter said to me a year later, she said he got so good at it that in 6 months he decided to go to Germany and cheer up relatives in Germany. And one day I was riding with the chaplain of our seminary. He's unofficial, but that means we don't pay him. He's unofficial. He's 91 years old and pressing 92. So we're riding along. He had left the pastoral work when he was 70 and gone to Africa to teach for several years at the Rift Valley Academy for missionary children. We're riding along, I said to him, I said, well, does time get heavy on your hands because he can't read anymore? A lot of things, anyhow. I said this, and he said, you know what? He said, it's strange you would mention that. He said, all my life, he said, I've never had the time I wanted for prayer. And he said, now I have it. He said, isn't God good to me? He said, now I have it. He said, it used to be hustle and bustle and run and do this and do that. And now, he said, I pray. Well, I will stop there and come back to the passage in just a half a minute. But you see, the concept is that it's wonderful to know the Lord. He's called us to a life of great blessing, but a life that would glorify and honor Him. The words for worship and serve are not much different in Greek, you know, and not much different in Hebrew, a little more different in Hebrew, but not much different. And the concept is when we come into the presence of God, we put ourselves before Him as those who've been touched by His grace and love. And we say, Lord, we love You, and we prove it in bowing before You. And whatever You speak to us, we're ready to hear. Yieldedness is the key to service. Now, in Jeremiah 1, you will quickly see two or three things. You'll see that God gives the call. Jeremiah did not appoint himself. We don't know a lot about him. We know something of his background. We pray maybe know more about him than some of the other prophets, but we still don't know a lot. We know his family, his line. We know what his ministry was. We know that God told him never to marry, to remain single, and the connection with the land. We know that he took the deed to inherit his uncle's land when the captivity was over, although we know he didn't live that long. We know that they forced him to go to Egypt when the rebels fled in 582. We know that Daniel was reading his book in Daniel 9 at the end of the 70-year period. But we don't know a whole lot more other than his personal history. So you can't say if he was a prodigy as a child, whether he played the violin early, or what he might have done. But God spoke to him. Now in Jeremiah 1, the first few verses cover the whole history of his ministry. And then he goes back to tell us about the nature of that call in verse 5 with regard to how God spoke to him. And the Lord said, look, he said, I've set you apart. I've made you a prophet. And Jeremiah said, Lord God, I can't speak. I'm but a child. A child means I'm someone immature and young in terms of what you want me to do. You remember how Moses talked like that too, won't you? And the Lord says, don't talk like that, because I'm the one who has called you. I knew you. I anointed you. I put my word with you. So what we stop and say is that the call to serve is a call that comes from God. My name is not Jeremiah. Doesn't even sound like that. It's Tom Taylor. Doesn't even sound like Jeremiah. And your name may sound like it or not. It depends. That's not the point. The point is that God calls us all to honor Him, to glorify Him, and to serve in connection with the gifts or skills He gives. I'll come to those in a little while. But the concept is that it's God who calls. When we call ourselves, we get into all kinds of difficulties. When I suddenly imagine that it's my duty to do particular things that I may or may not be equipped for, then I'm going beyond what God has spoken to me directly. The call of God in Ephesians 4:1 in our age to all of us is to walk worthy of the vocation in which we are called. And the vocation in which we are called is one of holiness. And God calls each of us who are born again, to walk that way. In 2 Timothy 2:19, the call is to walk away from the wicked things of our world. The Lord knows those that are His. Let those that name His name depart from those things that are contrary to it. In 2 Corinthians 5, we're called to walk as ambassadors and to live that way. And I could mention a number of other things too, but just stay with those three for a moment. Called to honor the holy nature of the God who saved us. Called to walk in lives of purity and integrity. Called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. In the nature of the New Testament, there is no believer who is not called to those things. And of course, when we say no believer, that means all of us. God gives the call. You might stand back and say, well, I don't have this gift or that gift. That's not important at the moment. The thing that's important at the moment is that God brings us to His family. God calls us to honor Him with lives that are obedient and yielded to Him. And yieldedness means a response to that call. Yieldedness means that I look up with a thankful heart and I say, that's right, Lord, and what I want to be is what You have called us to be on those particular lives. That's what I want to be. There's both general service and special service, I suppose. I don't find those designations in the Bible. I just find them in the course of life. General service, we're all ambassadors. Special service, there are people like Paul given unique ministries by God. That's individualized in His will. But the concept is that God looks at you and says, yes, it's your life, but I want it to honor me. And that's a call given to every one of us. There is no such thing as a company of people that the Lord says, I want you to live wretched testimonies so everybody will know how bad you are. There is no call like that. There's a call to holiness and a call to truth, and God gives it. And our yieldedness is when we respond by that and are ready to do it. You've heard about the fellows who say, call me anything you want, but don't call me late for dinner. You've certainly heard witticisms like that. I've always said, if you get far enough from the table, you don't know when dinner's served, you don't deserve to be called. That's a Taylorism that nobody else really agrees to, but that sort of thing. We understand those calls. We understand other calls like that. But God speaks to your heart. He doesn't write something on the wall for you to read, but he speaks to your heart. And by the word of God, he says, live holy and worthy of the thing I've given to you. And walk in truth and be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Be a representative of his in a world that doesn't know him. God gives that call. And yieldedness to that call is the key to serving. If you see yourself in every place called of God to be those things, then it doesn't make much difference where you are. You're God's servant. We had a brother in Philadelphia. Some sister asked me about him the other night. He was there for a long time. He's been with the Lord a long time, down Elwood Shaven. Lived near Philadelphia, preached in all the assemblies, and just about every place else you could mention, there was not an aspect of Christian work that Elwood wasn't involved in. He was wholehearted in all of those things. He sometimes irritated some of the saints because, like anybody that's vigorous like that, and it's tough, you know, when they visit you and they say to you, who are we going to go out and witness to this afternoon? You were playing to watch the football game. And he says, who are we going to go out and witness to this afternoon? Those guys can be tough on you after a while. But Elwood was one of those men. He preached at the Collingdale Assembly in Philadelphia one Sunday, went out and got in his car, felt very weak. He'd had a heart attack before and done other things, but he felt very weak, so he thought he'd sit in the car for a few minutes and rest. When the brethren came out from the assembly and found him sitting in the car, he was semi-conscious. They quickly got an ambulance, and they took him to the hospital, which was only about a mile away, and he was moving rapidly towards heaven, rapidly towards heaven. I happened to have his funeral a few days later, of course, and met a nurse who had attended him in the hospital. And I can't tell you everything. I can tell you this. She was a little girl of another faith, but in the hospital she had been getting things, and he just had enough strength to speak to her. And when she went to see him, he said to her, he said, in my coat pocket, there's something just for you. He said, I want you to have it, just for you. And she said, well, I'm not allowed to. No, he said, I want you to have it. And he was in such an anguish, see, that you don't want to argue with a man in this kind of pain, being put in an emergency treatment. He said, I want you to have it. He said, please get it, dear. It was a gospel tract, that's what it was, inside his coat pocket. It was a gospel tract. And he said, I want you to get it. And I can't remember the exact words. She was telling me at the funeral. He said, I want you to get it. And he said, I want you to read it. He said, and to believe. But those were the last words he ever said. And she went to the coat and got the tract out. I don't know if she ever believed or not. You know, you understand that, don't you? But she went and got the tract out. And if all nurses went to the funerals of everybody that dies, it would be an amazing thing. There'd be nobody left on duty in the hospital. But she showed up in respect of him and couldn't get over that, see. But he was demonstrating the call of God to be an ambassador. That might not be true of everybody to the same degree as expression. But the concept is that God calls us and yields us to that call is the key to service. Wanting the great places is not the key to service. Wanting great reputations is not the key. Wanting to be known and wanting to be recognized and wanting the assembly to give you a plaque when you die is not the key. The key to service is yieldedness to the known will of God. God gives the call. Secondly, God gives the ability with it. When I think of reading these verses in Jeremiah, what he was going to have to endure in the next years, I'm thankful for the hymn Ernest picked out earlier today. Next week you can ask Mr. Smith to tell you the history of it, Ernest. He knows it intimately. He was a close friend of Mr. Stebbins, and he can tell you how he held the pen when he wrote those words. But when I think of that, see, if the Lord had said to Jeremiah, I want to show you the next 40 years, prophet, I don't know what he would have done or thought. I don't know. I'm glad, too, that the Lord reveals to us our lives day by day. I've had a happy and thankful life. But there have been things in it that I would have certainly tried to avoid it if I'd known they were coming. Like those picnics at the seashore. Stuff like that. If I'd known they were coming, I certainly would have tried to avoid them in some particular way. But the Lord has blessed us in many, many ways. But part of the great blessing is the element of surprise and joy and delight in what God does. But for Jeremiah, he was going to have 40 years of rejection. And the rejection was not just people saying, no, no. The rejection was people saying, kill him, stone him, throw him in a dungeon. He's a traitor. Execute him. God protected him, though. God gave him the ability to speak the word that was needed. You'll see in verse 10 that he had a 6-part message, and 4 parts of it are knocking things down, and 2 parts are building things up. Well, the building up, that's great, but the knocking down, that's tough. Especially when the people you have to give it to don't want to hear it and hate you for saying it. But God gave the ability. He gave the ability to Moses. Moses said to God, he said, I can't speak. And Moses and the Lord said to him, he said, well, Aaron can talk pretty well. Go and get him. But you know, Aaron died fairly early in the wilderness wanderings, and Moses did a lot of speaking. When you read the book of Deuteronomy, there you have the speeches of Moses. And when you read those speeches, you don't feel that you're reading the work of someone who is inferior in expressing what was on his mind. God gave him the ability. And I think that's what we all have to look to. Now, in a framework in which we live, we are all gifted to serve God. Whether you want to read it in 1 Corinthians 12, or Ephesians 4, or Romans 12, or 1 Peter 4, right now, you can argue theologically over those as long as you want, but between Peter, Ephesians, Romans, and Corinthians, you can't escape all the Scripture. Somehow, we are all gifted to serve God. Now, at the risk of being arbitrary, I'm just going to say this. I'm not going to argue for it, and I'm not going to attack anybody over it. But I personally think that all the time you spend trying to determine what your gift is wasted time. That's a personal feeling. No ill will. There are some great seminars on finding out your gift and some great programs, and maybe when we get to heaven, those guys will be sitting on a high chair, and men like myself will have to go mousily in front of them and say, I'm sorry I said that. I think you discover what your gift is by giving yourself in service to God and letting God demonstrate the ability he's given you. I was out at the Yosemite conference, and the man who pioneered it and headed it is Bill Bush. Never met him before, and he's in California, but he shows up in all kinds of places. He could very well show up at Park of the Palms. He's 94 himself, so he could very well show up at Park of the Palms. He lives out in the Claremont home in California, but just a lovely fellow with lots of pep and zip and all that kind of stuff. So he said to me, he said, I'd like to give you my tract on how I discovered what my gift was. So he not only gave me one, he gave me 50, so I could have a few to bring back. It's like my own writings. It hadn't been in great demand, I think, but I read it delightfully. And in that, he tells how he was saved and how he came to fellowship with the Lord's people and what he did. And at the end of it, after he's written 20 pages at the end of it, you still don't know what his gift was. He said, my policy, I'm not quoting exactly, but he said, my practice and policy have been, he said, wherever I could help, I helped. And where my help wasn't needed or wasn't useful, I didn't. And he said, I still am not sure what my gift is. But he said, I've enjoyed being a helper and a servant of God for these last, many years. And he said, that's my advice to people today, to put their hands to the plow and see where God will bless them. Now, that doesn't answer every question. But the concept in Corinthians is that we're all given the ability by God through the Spirit to honor him in lives of building, strengthening, edifying, helping one another. We're all given that. How you find your particular best pursuit is a matter of getting in and plugging away, I think. Now, we love the people that have the gift of hospitality. We all should have a touch of it. Some people have a special sense of it. I'm glad to have people visit us, but I have no sense of putting down napkins for them to use. I've wiped my mouth with my hands for years. So it's obvious that while I have a hospitable spirit, my gift of hospitality is limited by my country manners. What do you think we have sleeves on these coats for? God gives the ability. And to each of you, God has given the ability to serve and to honor him to each of us, in accord with the working of his Spirit. Yieldedness to the known will of God means that I accept that fact for myself, and my heart looks up and says, Lord, how can I best honor you? we discover that in places where serving is emphasized, there's a great degree of health. And in places where greatness is emphasized, there is a great sickness in most areas. So God first gives the call. God secondly gives the ability. And God in the third place promises to honor his word. He says it to Jeremiah very directly. I've put it in your mouth. And he will tell him that throughout this chapter. He will tell him over in verse 17 that he doesn't have to worry. He can't be dismayed at them and he can't back down, but he doesn't have to worry. The Lord has made him, verse 18, a defense city. They'll fight against you, verse 19, but they will not win. For I'm the Lord with you to deliver you. Some of his trials will be huge, and he's not above normal depression. He has some tough days. I'll mention some of those tomorrow. He has some tough, tough days. And he goes through a depressed state in Jeremiah 20, which almost boggles your mind. But he comes back because God says, I will promise to honor my word and care for you. Under the nature of that care of God, we can't really dictate how God will do it. I can't look out and say, well, God, you've got to do this, 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 and this. What I have to do is to live yielded to him. That's the key to service. And in that particular connection, we move on. Went to a conference one time. I was not invited to speak at it. That's good. You need to go and listen a lot. I went to a conference one time, and the man met me at the door. It was in Pennsylvania. He looked me up after I got in. I make it sound like they were waiting for me, but they weren't. I was sitting down, in fact, waiting for the conference to start, and a man came up and asked me to come out, and I went in the hall, and he said, we've had a terrible thing, Tom. He said, one of our speakers can't be here. He said, could you fill in for him today? I had visions of speaking to these hundreds of people. So I said, sure, I said, I can do it. And the man who couldn't show up was the man who was going to have the games for the little children. The little children! The little squeakers! So I said, I'll be glad to help. He led me to the nursery. I didn't mind that. First of all, they're much less critical than you are. And secondly, you can do a lot more things with them. You can tell a Bible story, then you can pretend they're all David and Goliath and have them stab each other. You can just do all kinds of things. I really didn't mind it. Honest, I didn't. But I will tell you that just at the moment, just for a little second, I just kind of took a little inside tumble. Of course, among other things, I wanted to hear the men who were preaching. But when he said, one of the men can't make it today, could you take his place? Then, you know, your whole perspective changes. You'll forgive me for being human, will you? I had a great time in a nursery. I had a dry, it really wasn't the baby stage, it was the 4 and 5 year old. And, you know, so we sang little songs and I drew on the easel and I played all kinds of dumb games and we went on and the speakers upstairs talked 20 minutes longer than they should have. I thought I was going to go crazy. But the Lord promises that when we're yielded to him, he will give us the strength to endure. And none of the kids attacked me, none of them bit me. In fact, the brethren asked me if I could come back the next year and do it again. God promises to honor his word. You may never see how it works out. Met a man in the assembly at York. Met him about a year ago at York in Pennsylvania. He told me that, when I asked him how he was saved. We were sitting and eating and talking. Well, he said, I grew up in this meeting. He said, I was here until I was 18 years old. He said, I never missed a meeting. But he said, I never trusted Jesus either. And he said, I hated coming, but I didn't have any choice. He said, when I was 18, he said, I left my parents and left this place. And he said, I lived for 40 years, a wild and terrible life. He said, 10 years ago, he said, I saw the folly of that. And he said, the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, I came back to the Lord. And he said, the Lord has been so gracious and wonderful to me. See, I'm crying by that time. And I said, oh, praise the Lord. He said, I want to tell you, he said, that after I left, he said, there was not a day that my mother and father did not pray for me. But he said, they did not live to see me come back to the Lord. He said, they died 10 years before I was restored. And see, I said to him, well, I have a feeling they probably know about it where they are. And he said, that's right. But he said, would have given anything if they had seen their prayers fulfilled in this life. Well, I'm not sure as you can weigh those things, but I sat there and said, that's right, God promises to honor his word. He doesn't promise to do a lot of things that we might imagine, but he promises to honor his word. And there were faithful parents who gave his word and taught his word and stood by his word and prayed over his word. That brother passed away last fall. And I, sitting in my study, thought of what a joy of rejoicing it must have been in glory when all the things that God had promised were seen fulfilled in a powerful sense. I thought of how happy they must have all been. Oh, you may have different pictures of glory, but I couldn't help but think that. And the Lord says to us, he says, you're not expected to be the great earthly successes that people talk about, but to be faithful with my word. And if you looked at Jeremiah's life and said, what was his success? It's hard to find it. But he was yielded to the known will of God. And that was his history. And that was his record of faithfulness. And that was his success. I press this morning that the yieldness is the key, in a very special sense, to our service. And our service is one of worship and adoration and doing the will of God in representing Christ and in living in holiness. And yieldness to that word is the key to our service and to its usefulness among the people of God. So I have to say to myself again and again what I don't even like to hear. Come back to the scripture and back to what the Lord wants you to be and what he wants you to do and yield yourself to what he says. That's the key. And that's the challenge. Say thanks for coming out this morning. I know it was raining and you couldn't go anyplace else. But thanks for coming out this morning. And if I sound overly emphatic on that, then just bear with me. But I feel it pretty keenly. When I have students that come in for a beginning Greek or something like that, I know that the key to their success will be the willingness to listen to their teachers and to work with it. And in the course of life, the key to service is a willingness to be yielded to the known will of God. So if you write the known will of God up and bow your heart before it and say, Lord, with your help and your strength and the power of the Spirit and the guidance of the Word, I will yield myself to that. Then your service will be a great blessing to you. And your worship and service a great blessing to God and to others. Let's pray. Thank you, gracious Father, today for your mercies and love to us. Pray you be with us so we know you're with us, but in the sense of our realization of your presence and in the joy of executing your will. Thank you, then, and watch over us today to encourage us in lives of yield.